Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and let's do as we always do and begin our period together tonight with taking a few moments of silence together. Just sitting in receptive silence. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that we can be sure that the Holy Spirit gives. We place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. And taking a nice mindful breath in, and out, allowing our eyes to open and coming together to right here, right now. Alrighty. So, picking up where we left off last week in the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 276. The heading is Reality and Redemption. Again, Sparkle Edition, page 276. If anybody has the original edition, it is page 231. It's also called Reality and Redemption. That is also another way of finding it, is chapter 11, part 9. That's the original edition. And last but not least, if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, we are on page 233. It's chapter 12, part 8, page 233 in the FIP, and it's called The Attraction of Love for Love. Welcome, Paula.
Hello, Corinne.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Welcome.
I'm happy to be here.
Yay, me too. Always look forward to this. Okay, so here we go. Reality and redemption, or according to the Foundation for Inner Peace, the attraction of love for love. Do you really believe that you can kill the Son of God? The Father has hidden his Son safely within himself and kept him far away from your destructive thoughts. But you know neither the Father nor the Son because of them. You attack the real world every day and every hour and every minute, and yet you are surprised that you cannot see it. If you seek love in order to attack it, you will never find it. For if love is sharing, how can you find it except through itself? Offer it, and it will come to you because it is drawn to itself. But offer attack, and it will remain hidden, for it can live only in peace. Pausing here for a moment and just thinking about the title in the subheading title in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, like I said, it's called The Attraction of Love for Love. I love how it says here, you can only find love through itself. So offering love is how we find love. The willingness to see the Holy Spirit in others helps us see the Holy Spirit in our own minds. So I like that sentence where it says, offer it and it will come to you because it is drawn to itself, but offer attack and it will remain hidden. So this is pretty clear that if we feel like we can't hear the voice of spirit, or you know, we're wondering why we can't see the real world, it's because we're not even aware that, how it says, every day, every hour, and every minute, we're attacking the real world by simply our choosing to listen to the ego, to believe in the reality of the ego rather than letting that, you know, go and coming to truly know what we really are. But that's what we're here to do. Any thoughts or questions or comments so far? I also think the first sentence, do you really believe, and in the Sparkle Edition, the word really is all caps, do you really believe that you can kill the Son of God? Doesn't that even just sound preposterous, the idea of killing God? It just sounds crazy, and killing the Son of God. Next paragraph. God's Son is as safe as his Father, for the Son knows his Father's protection and cannot fear. His Father's love holds him in perfect peace, and needing nothing, he asks for nothing. Yet he is far from you, whose self he is, for you chose to attack him, and he disappeared from your sight into his Father. He did not change, but you did. For a split mind and all its works were not created by the Father and could not live in the knowledge of him. So this makes me think about how the Course says that we are as safe right now as we were before the separation seemingly happened and as we will be when the separation is seemingly over. Nothing has changed. We are perfectly, perfectly safe. And nothing has changed except us. We're the ones who, again, have chosen to look to the ego rather than to truth. And so reality hasn't changed at all. It's still there for us to awaken to.
Seems like doubt is probably one of the biggest problems then.
Yeah, because we doubt because what our body's eyes seem to show us is that God isn't here. You know, again, turn on the news, think about just everything, you know, all the violence, everything that's terrible in the world. So, yeah, the doubt is definitely a big thing that comes up if we're using, again, the body's eyes and ears to judge what it is that we think reality is. So that's a good point, Paula.
Yeah, and the belief in death.
Right.
Funny, a funny thing lately, I used to live at 1214 Minnehaha Trail. And 1214, whenever I think of my mother, my mother passed years and years ago, but whenever I think of her, that number will pop up.
Hmm.
And I'll wake up in the middle of the night just to go into the bathroom, and it's 1214. And recently I woke up, and it was 1213, and I thought, oh, my, I missed you by a minute. The next day my daughter came over. It was lunchtime, and I was telling her, because she gets a kick out of this sort of thing. She has a lot of these things with numbers come up. And I was telling her, oh, you know, about my mother in 1214. And I said, oh, I missed her by a minute. And she said, Ma, I'm looking. She was looking at the VCR, or rather the set-top box with the time. She said, it's 1214. Now, that just tickled me to know. And my mother loved Halloween. And I always think of her around this time of the year. And we were in the grocery store today, and we had just been talking. My daughter and I had just been talking about her. And darn it, when the cashier rang up Mary Lou's bill, it was 1214.
Oh, cool. Oh, wow.
You know, it's just these little things that... You know, that make you feel connected to them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's a lot of that going on a lot of the time, and we're just not in tune with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's really nice when we are.
It really is. It really is. That's beautiful. What reassurance that we are not alone. I know we've all had experiences like that, just those little synchronicities, those things that are just, you know, unmistakable. That's awesome. It's very comforting, too, because, again, it's just reinforcement that we're not alone. And this is interesting, too. Let's keep reading, because it's talking about what's visible versus invisible. When you made what is not true visible, what is true became invisible. Yet it cannot be invisible in itself, for the Holy Spirit sees it with perfect clarity. It is invisible to you because you are looking at something else. Yet it is no more up to you to decide what is visible and what is invisible than it is up to you to decide what reality is. What can be seen is what the Holy Spirit sees. The definition of reality is God's, not yours. He created it, and he knows what it is. You who knew have forgotten, and unless he had given you a way to remember, you would have condemned yourselves to oblivion. In other words, we can't get lost in this dream because of the Holy Spirit. We have a way out. We just have to want it. That's all. So thinking just what you shared, Paula, about these little signs, these little synchronicities, just made me think of this next paragraph, because it says, what is not true, we've made visible. So in other words, what is not true is what is visible to us, to the body's eyes. What is true seems to be invisible, and yet it's really not invisible, because the invisible is the truth, and that's what the Holy Spirit sees with perfect clarity, and that's what we're learning how to see. As we slowly open our eyes, we see that different vision. And just like you said, sometimes, some people are open to it, maybe other times we're not, and it's when we're open to it that we're going to see it, because we're open to it.
Yeah. Isn't that ironic that I would even talk about that before that paragraph? That's really interesting. Not surprising,
cool.
Though.
Mm-mm. Nope, not surprising. What's that saying? You believe what you see, but you see what you believe. Like, it goes both ways.
Yeah, one is the Wayne Dyer book. Yeah, the
Which
normal.
Book is that?
Let's see. You'll see it when you believe it.
Oh, okay.
So it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Usually,
yeah,
it's,
I like
you'll
that.
Believe it when you see it.
Right. Perfect.
Which is the old way. Yeah. And it's
perfect.
To me, it's like these three paragraphs are kind of saying, don't forget, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget. You need to be reminded.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not to be corny, but to me, it's a fog. I'm still stuck in the fog. You get you get glimpses of clarity. That's what this does.
You're,
every
you're
now and then,
right.
you get a little touch point, and you go, "Oh, that's it."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you guys have taught me to ask, like, "Holy Spirit, help me." I'm not afraid to say it now.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful,
it's
Brian.
Just, you remind me.
Awesome.
It's kind of like, what is the old joke? How do you get the attention of a horse or something? I don't know. Or somebody gives you trouble, it's like with a 2x4. You'll get their attention. So maybe we need a 2x4, like, hey, attention.
Oh, that's funny. Well, that's why we all show up here every week, to remind each other, and to reinforce this for one another. So
that's right.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
We're all helping each other. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Because of your Father's love, you can never forget him, for no one can forget what God himself placed in his memory. You can deny it, but you cannot lose it. A voice will answer every question you ask, and a vision will correct the perception of everything you see. For what you have made invisible is the only truth, and what you have not heard is the only answer. God would reunite you with yourself and did not abandon you in your seeming distress. You are waiting only for him and do not know it. Yet his memory shines in your minds and cannot be obliterated. It is no more past than future, being forever, always. What a beautiful paragraph.
Jeez.
I love every sentence in this paragraph. You can deny it, but you cannot lose it. I love the sentence. A voice will answer every question you ask, and a vision will correct the perception of everything you see.
That's kind of like what we were just talking about, too.
Yep, yep, it sure is. It sure is. And I love it, too. It says, you're waiting only for him and do not know it. You know, I think all of us at this point know that we can't find that happiness outside of ourselves. We know at this point that it's an inside job, and perhaps we slip up, you know, from time to time. But, you know, everything that we're searching for comes down to simply the desire for God, to remember the love of God.
Yeah, this that last part that you just read, Corinne, reminds me of the part in the Course that says the Holy Spirit's voice is only as loud as your willingness to hear.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That just came
I
to
like
mind.
That.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that quote. And so as we build our willingness, the Holy Spirit's voice is getting louder and louder, not because it actually is. It's been that loud all the time. It's just simply our willingness that is increasing. Beautiful.
I honestly think stress is one of the biggest blocks, you know, to hearing the Holy Spirit's voice. When we allow ourselves to get overworked and overtired,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's when we lose it.
Yeah, it's more of the ego ploys to keep us from remembering who we truly are. It comes in the form of stress, you know, fear, you name it, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
It has many different forms, but it's just the same thing. A call for love, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, next paragraph. You have but to ask for this memory, and you will remember. Yet the memory of God cannot shine in a mind which has made it invisible and wants to keep it so. For the memory of God can dawn only in a mind that wills to remember and that has relinquished the insane desire to control reality. You who cannot even control yourselves should hardly aspire to control the universe. But look upon what you have made of it and rejoice that it is not so. Son of God, be not content with nothing. What is not real cannot be seen and has no value. God could not offer his son what has no value, nor could his son receive it. You were redeemed the instant you thought you had deserted him. So again, nothing has changed. That fog that we were talking about with Brian, you know, that the fog really isn't there. It may seem like it's there right now, but it's just fog, and it's really, really not there. So this is beautiful how it says, again, we've not changed a thing. We were redeemed the instant we thought we had deserted him, which is pretty cool. And again, the humor in this paragraph, you who cannot even control yourself should hardly aspire to control the universe. I love that.
It's funny that you mentioned humor, Corinne, because I was thinking of, you mentioned, like, I think a week or two ago, that part that says that the Son of God forgot to laugh or something.
Remembered not to laugh, yeah.
Remember not to laugh. And then today I was thinking of you all because I was doing, I'm doing a 9-week workshop. And we were doing an exercise this morning. It was laughter yoga. So we had to, in the group of us were laughing for 5 minutes, 5.5 minutes. And I was thinking, that's all it is we forget to laugh. We forget to, you know, find the joy and the truth of what we are. We forget to laugh. And as I was doing this, because she would say, like our teacher would say, like once we laughed for about a minute or so, she said, okay, now laugh like you're a cat. So then we had to like think, how would a cat sound laughing? And it just seemed like so absurd. And then she would say, now laugh like you're the devil. And so we're like, and we told these silly sound effects, can you now laugh like you're a dog?
Oh,
it
was,
how funny. It was hilarious. And I was like, I'm going to keep this exercise and do it again, like, every day. It's just like, you know, all the little things that we get so wrapped up in where we think are so serious. And then, you know, when you transition, it doesn't matter. Like, you just, there's no judgment at the whatever we think, you know, death is. It's just you learn the truth of what you are, and then you spend that, you know, the rest of the time in that full awareness, that full truth.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. I'm so glad you shared that example. I've never taken a laughter yoga class, but we've talked about it in some of the classes that I teach, and it's for anybody who doesn't know, I mean, DG, the purpose is just to get together and literally to laugh. Like, you're not...
Literally, yeah.
Yeah, just, it starts out maybe feeling a little awkward, but it turns into real laughter, and it feels amazing because you're just laughing and laughing and laughing.
Well, actually, she posted, I'll put it in the Miracle Share group because there is a free laughter yoga hotline you can actually call and have like a class, you know, listen to a class on the phone, and it's
no
a
way.
Free, yeah, it's a free, it's a free thing. But I learned something really interesting too, though, because she gave us some stats, and I was just shocked. Well, not shocked. I'm not really shocked because of how we listen to the ego. But she said, children on average laugh 300 times a day. Adults on average laugh 15 times a day.
Wow.
1/5.
Wow.
So I was just like, wow, that's a lesson right there. Gotta have more laughter. You know, gotta choose to have the laughter. That's
that is so cool. Wow, that's an amazing statistic. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny just hearing you talk. I was just thinking, I was with my girlfriend's 4-month-old baby. And this child, she told me that people, when they come over, they're always trying to get the baby's attention because baby just wants mom, and that's it. It has no interest in anybody else. And she couldn't understand or get over why this little baby kept looking at me. And I, again, this isn't, I'm not saying this out of specialness whatsoever. I feel like when we do this inner work, and when we let, you know, our awareness of spirit grow, little children, because, again, even before, you know, this baby has, like this, these personalized thoughts of its own, it can easily much more remember the truth of what we are. And so she couldn't believe how much the baby kept staring at me, and we were just having, you know, a lot of fun together. And for the first time in weeks, apparently her child has been waking up every hour on the hour, like every single night. And that was the first night after I left that the baby slept for 6 hours straight. And it just, to me, and again, this is just a reflection of what I feel like happens when, you know, we get to, when we remove the blocks to what it is that we really are, how that felt so comforting to learn, because to me it reinforced this idea that of just feeling really, really, I don't even have words, comforted, safe, taken care of, all those things. So Deidre, that's where my mind was going when you were saying that statistic about, you know, kids laughing 300 times a day and us laughing only 15.
Yeah.
I think about just what you said, too, when we transition, like when, you know, the time comes to lay the body down,
mm-hmm.
from the experiences, you know, with like near-death experiences that I've read, and again, I haven't had this experience myself, but it's always this like, oh, like why did I take this so seriously? Like I'm still here. Like I'm still alive. Like that was just all laughable. And so if we can remember that now, just not take it all so seriously, because it's
yeah.
not. It's not.
I think too, because, you know, I just had the experience with my dad. Like, I'm acutely aware that he hasn't gone anywhere. So, and I'm still, like, getting messages. Like, I just, like everyone else, have days where I'm not as tapped in, turned on, or whatever. But I still communicate with him, and he lets me know, you know, I'm here. And, you know, there's nothing to be sad about. Like, not that I'm sad, but, I mean, you know, he's free. So you know, the course has totally altered and turned on its head everything I used to believe. You know, to the point where, I'll just give you another silly, fun example. Where I live on Vancouver Island, so a little town called Courtenay, British Columbia, and not too long ago, like a few days ago, they had a water warning. They were saying, you know, boil your water because there's some sort of danger and you could get sick or whatever. So I was like, okay, I'm going to play a little game. And I said to Spirit, I said, I'm going to completely trust in you, and I'm not going to boil this water. Mm-hmm. And I have not been sick because I'm choosing the Christ mind.
Yeah.
And so, like, people around me are saying, you know, like, I don't feel well, it must be the water. And I'm like, I'm not saying to them, you know, I'm still drinking the water, but inside I know I'm drinking the water, and it's not the water.
Right, right.
It's my mind.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really awesome. It makes me think of just, you know, our belief in, you name it. I mean, organic food, eating your greens, staying away from sugar, taking vitamins, medication, you know, whatever it may be. It's never about that having a cause on the body. It's literally, you know, our willingness to allow our perception to be healed, because it's only ever our perception that can be wrong. So that's beautiful to you, that you were guided to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I love it. That is so refreshing, what you just said. Because, you know, I don't watch too much news, but I do occasionally, you know, when I'm flicking through the dials, and that Ebola thing that's been going on. And it's just such... You know, it's in the ethers. And every time I hear about it, I immediately move on. Mm-hmm. And it's just so wonderful to hear you say this and affirm these ideas.
Yeah.
Well,
there's nothing to fear.
Yeah. Even when I notice, like, beliefs that I have around food come up or whatever, I acknowledge that I still have the belief. Like, I do eat organic food,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that I continue to do. But in addition to that, I ask Spirit to bless my food every time. Like, every time I remember. I don't remember all the time to bless my food, but I've noticed a huge difference. Like, because everything is energy and vibration, right? So
right.
It's my belief that I'm pumping into what I'm taking into my body, and, you know, what I'm taking into my energy field, etc. So it's always about looking at what I believe. And, like, recently, when I started doing this inner work, I was, like, really strict to the point about food, that I was pretty harsh on myself about what I ate. And recently I've relaxed a little bit to the point where, you know, I'll eat, like, organic chocolate and stuff where I wasn't eating that before. And, you know, nothing's different. It's just that my belief has shifted. You know, like nothing, it's not preventing me from receiving intuitive messages or whatever I had picked up because I read something or whatever, you know. It's just that my belief has shifted. So
I'm actually trying to have more fun with food because, you know, especially tonight, we had a nice late lunch and my daughter and I, she lives near town, and she said, let's walk downtown and get ice cream. And right away, my first thought was, oh, you know, I can't do that. That's, you know, I'm going to put on more weight. Or I thought, out of here. I am going to sit down and I had the best bowl of chocolate chip mint and chocolate ice cream mixed, and it was just wonderful, and I just had fun eating it. And I honestly think, you know, if you eat that with the belief that you're going to gain weight, you're going to gain weight. If you eat it with the belief that you're just, it's just fun, it tastes delicious, I'm happy I'm having this, I personally don't think it's going to change anything.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's like we've been talking about, looking at every belief that you hold, right? And Anita Marjani says, you know, eat more chocolate.
And enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
Yeah.
I was going to Weight Watchers on Sunday mornings for a couple of weeks because I just, you know, It's nuts. It just all sounded nuts to me. I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. I'm just not doing this. I'm just going to enjoy my food.
Awesome.
So far, so good. I'm doing good.
That's awesome.
I'll say one more thing and then I'll stop.
No, please keep sharing. If you feel moved, please.
Recently, I've been playing a little games with myself about, like, beliefs and stuff like that. And, you know, several times I've caught myself, you know, that little feeling that you get in the back of your throat or when you're about to sneeze that you might be getting a cold or whatever. I've been like, nope, I'm not going down this road. I am the Christ. And it evaporates. And I don't get sick. I haven't been sick. I don't know when I was last sick. I can be around people who are, you know, experiencing the outset of that, and they can be telling me, you know, I don't feel well, this, that, and the other, and I'm, for the, you know, majority of it, not perfect all the time, but I'm really holding the vision of the truth of that person. Like, my stepmother's friend was here the other day, and she's got something that she's telling herself a story about. I won't go into that, but I'm just looking at her, and I refuse to see any of that because it's not who she is. And I stopped her mid-sentence at one point because she was saying, you know, some very unloving things toward herself. And I just said, that's not true. I said, you are beautiful. And I don't want to listen to you talking about yourself that way because it's not true. And she looked at me, and she didn't know what to say. She just was like, her mouth dropped open. And she was like, she didn't have a response. But I knew that, you know, it was something that I was moved to say from Spirit's point of view. So
that's awesome.
This course is just mind-blowing.
It really is. You know, this is wonderful what you're talking about, Deidre. It really is. I did get sick this week, and it was no surprise to me, believe me, because I had actually planned to take a vacation day on Friday because I knew I was exhausted. And on Thursday, all of a sudden at work, I had to leave. I had to come home. I was so sick. And I just got in bed, and the cats were wonderful. They just stayed right with me. And I watched myself throughout the day. I really, on some level, knew this was just exhaustion, and I brought this on myself. But there was a fear. Oh, maybe it's the flu. Oh, maybe this is going to go on. You know? And every time that voice, I heard that voice, it was like, just what you were saying. Nope. I'm not doing that.
Yep.
I don't believe it. Nope. Do you know, I slept all afternoon. It was, oh, my God. When I got up later in the day, I felt fantastic. I was going to go for a walk. And then I thought, you know, well, don't push this. Just take it easy. And I did. I relaxed. I had the best weekend. I felt fabulous after that. But there was an actual fear, you know, around it, a belief that, oh, no, this could possibly be the flu. This could go on for days. Oh, I'm going to. And then I just stopped it right then and there. And just like you said, go to that Christ mind. You are healed and whole right this minute. And it's a wonderful thing.
That's awesome. That makes me think of how the Course talks about vigilance, how we are much too tolerant of mind wandering.
Yes.
What is that mind wandering? But it also says, too, you're passively condoning your mind's miscreation. So when our mind does all that crap, like, oh, this is going to be sick. Is this the flu? Is this a cold? What is it going to be? And saying, stop. No, I'm not going down that path is, you know, putting the brakes on and exercising that vigilance.
I think I mentioned last week I had watched a Ken Wapnick video, and he said, you are either the voice in your head all of the time is either the voice for God or the voice for the ego. There is no other voice. It's one or the other. And that, boy, I'll tell you, that helped me so much. To realize God wouldn't be saying this. God wouldn't be saying, oh, this could be the flu, you know?
Right.
God wouldn't be saying that. God would be saying, you're healthy as a horse. You're fabulous.
And Deidre, going back, I love just the example that you shared with, you know, the person that you just were, you refused to side with what they were saying when you just were guided to say, you know, that's absolutely not true, and they were just stunned with their mouth, you know, falling open. It's just so beautiful when we can have those, you know, moments of, again, just being willing to fully look to the Holy Spirit instead of to the picture. And it's just so beautiful what you were guided to say.
Well, it's so funny, Corinne, because I used to be, like, pre-course, right? Like, I used to be, like, super, super shy, totally introverted, you know, and I'm teaching classes now, and, you know, like, I'm speaking up to people, and I'm going to family members who made me, like, I felt terrified to say, you know, hey, I'm psychic and this is what I do. And it's just like, I don't care anymore. And it's just so freeing. Like, because it has nothing to do with anything outside of me. So if someone responds in a way that, you know, is fear-based, I know that it's coming from me. If I experience, like, down the road or something, some symptoms of so-called appearance of sickness, it's only because I'm choosing to go down that road.
Wow.
It's me and no one else. So, yeah.
You reminded me, and Paula, you brought up Ebola, and I think I shared this during the Miracle Share conference. I'm pretty sure on one of the Q&A calls, unless I said it last week, which if I'm repeating myself, just let me know. But with, it's funny, I have at this point in time, it's been consistently a while now where I've felt zero fear when I hear anything about Ebola. But if it shows up in my awareness, it's there in my mind, and so it's another opportunity to turn to spirit. I know I had shared, and gosh, I'm trying to just recall the details really quick, but I had an experience that I know I shared on the phone where it was an experience of recognizing that something in the form of even something like Ebola is, again, the sleeping split mind, how the Course says we have this, you know, part of our mind is asleep. It's misusing God energy to keep us terrified and asleep, to keep us still sleeping, because we, you know, we see these witnesses for fear and think, oh, this is so awful, it must be real, right? When I had that recognition that this was just a misuse, that it's love behind the form, even if the form is scary, you know, that's love is actually what is in everything. It was a shift for me, or, you know, at that time, you know, I had previously been feeling spikes of fear, and then that shifted me back into peace. And what happened afterwards was just so funny, because I went onto Facebook, and when I had been seeing all these messages of like, oh, Ebola, you know, people sharing headlines and seeing the trending topics on the right-hand side of the computer screen, I went back on after that experience, and I saw none of that. Not only did I see none of that, but I saw posts saying this, there's no cause for fear, like you know, this is nothing to fear. I literally saw posts like that. So what you see literally changes as you change your mind. So the witnesses yeah. that were coming forward for me were now witnesses for not fear, and rather than, you know, those witnesses for fear, which they previously were. So I felt moved to throw that in there since we brought that up again. I don't remember if I had shared that previously. So
I can't hear that enough.
Yeah, yes. Well, that's why
you
we're
could
here.
Say that, you could say that every week. You could repeat that every single week, Corinne.
Oh, I can do so. And, you know, another thing, Deidre, when you were sharing another example that came forward when you were sharing about how, you know, when you notice that voice of like, oh, is that, you know, that tickle in my throat, does that mean I'm getting a cold? And you say, you know, nope, not going to go there. I remembered that there was this part of this, I had a DVD series once that somebody lent to me on the history of Christianity, and it was fascinating. And in one of the sections, and I'm going to get, I don't remember who was involved in this. I just remember there were two people talking. One was a priest. I don't know who the other person was. And they were in a church, and they were looking at this, the church's gold and, you know, fortune. And there was a saying, rise and walk. I don't know who said that. If it was Jesus, again, I'm sorry, I don't know. But in this example, the priest pointing at the riches said something to the effect of, no longer do I have to say, gold and silver have I none. And the person responded to him, no longer can you say, rise and walk. Meaning, because that church official, priest, was looking at the gold and the riches of the world, or looking, let's say, toward the ego, that person loses the ability to say rise and walk, meaning I'm willing to see only the Holy Spirit in you. I'm willing to look only at the truth within you, and you are healed. Rise and walk. It's what you think you're suffering
yeah.
from. It's done. It's not there. Mm-hmm. So that was just, that example came to mind, and I wanted to share it the best that I could, according to my memory. So
yeah.
Hey, family, latecomer as usual.
Hi, Carla.
Hey.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's good to
of
be
course.
with my other family.
Oh, we're happy you're here.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
No, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say where I was about to read another paragraph, and I will tell you where we are, if I can quickly.
Yep, FIP, baby.
I know. Is anybody reading in the
You look
FIP
upon
edition?
The unreal, isn't it?
Everything.
Isn't that where we are?
I think we're beginning. Everything you made has never been, right?
Okay, which chapter is it?
You're in chapter 12. I think you're going to be somewhere on page 234 or 235. I just want to find it. But folks who are in the Sparkle Edition, that's where we're starting, right? Everything you made has never been.
Yeah.
And that section?
I'll get that one second. Anybody who's reading the Sparkle Edition, am I picking up in the right place where we left off?
Yeah.
I am, because I think we – yes, okay. So, Carla, you're going to be – on page 234, 235.
Okay, no problem.
I'm just trying to find the exact spot. Does anybody else besides Carla have the FIP edition? And do you know where we are?
Not open.
Okay.
Well, so the section, is it the attraction of love for love?
Yeah, that's where we're reading.
Okay. And the last paragraph started with what?
Everything you made.
The sentence we'll be reading is everything you made has never been. So I'm just going to – oh, I just found it. You're going to be in – it's on page 234, paragraph 6, sentence number 5.
Got it.
Okay. Everything you made has never been. And is invisible because the Holy Spirit does not see it. Yet what he does see is yours to behold, and through his vision, your perception is healed. You have made the invisible the only truth that this world holds. Valuing nothing, you have sought nothing and found nothing. By making nothing real to you, you have seen it, but it is not there. And Christ is invisible to you because of what you have made visible to yourselves. Yet it does not matter how much distance you have tried to interpose between your awareness and truth. God's Son can be seen because his vision is shared. The Holy Spirit looks upon him and sees nothing else in you. What is invisible to you is perfect in his sight and encompasses all of it. He has remembered you because he forgot not the Father. And we'll pause there before we finish up this section for the evening. So everything we've made, so what we see with the body's eyes has never been and is invisible because the Holy Spirit does not see it. In other words, this isn't real because the Holy Spirit doesn't see it. But what he does see is ours to behold, and through his vision, our perception is healed, where it says, you have made the invisible the only truth that this world holds. In other words, in the Course elsewhere, it says that the only part of this world that has any reality is whatever part of it we look upon with love. So love's invisible, right? And again, talking love with a capital L, the love of God. So what is invisible, which is the love of God, is the only truth that this world holds. And that can
that's
kind of
awesome.
Be a doozy for the ego.
that's awesome. I tuned in on the right. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. What were you saying? You tuned in on the right spot?
Yeah, I tuned in on the right spot. And you're right, the ego doesn't like it. I was just saying, I've got to do something tonight, and I really don't want to do it. I have to have a conversation with someone that is actually it could potentially break up the relationship or separate us. And I really don't want to do it because it also comes with – I have to discuss something that's really, really a sensitive topic for me. And I know it's all a dream and all that kind of stuff. I get that part, but I still experience the illusion of it, of what I mean. And so I can't see Christ in this. I'm having a hard time. There are times that I'm able to have glimpses of Holy Spirit and Christ and all that kind of stuff, but it's something that I've struggled with for many years, and to have this conversation with someone tonight, it's almost like I'd rather just drop dead on the spot instead of doing it. You know, that's how intensely uncomfortable this has been for me. And so to read about, to hear about anything that I see or that I'm valuing is really nothing. That sounds good in this book, and I sure wish that, I mean, I sure wish that would drop from the head to the heart. This has not gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of working through this and asking over and over to see myself and the situation correctly, because I know I'm not, I've struggled with it for a while, so I just have to give that up and just let it be what it's going to be. So thanks.
Oh, thank you for sharing, because, you know, again, we can't skip over our lessons. We have to go through them. And so the best that we can do, you know, when we're in a situation, like it sounds like you're in, is to go through it and to ask, like you're doing, over and over, to see correctly. Ask the Holy Spirit to be there. Turn, you know, give that tiny willingness to see the situation differently to the Holy Spirit, and go through our lessons. Because as we turn to the Holy Spirit, even as we go through, you know, our lessons, we're not reinforcing the ego. We're changing things, even if it seems like there is no change. We're still there. A change is still happening because of that vigilance again, to turn to the Holy Spirit. So there's no cause for guilt in going through what we need to go through. It's about, you know, a happy learner does not feel guilty about learning. And so if we're in a situation again where we need to say something that's uncomfortable, we say it. We can give it to the Holy Spirit, and we can not feel guilty about it.
Thank you, my sister. I surely needed to hear that. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's read the last two paragraphs here one at a time. You looked upon the unreal and found despair. Yet by seeking the unreal, what else could you find? The unreal world is a thing of despair, for it can never be. And you who share God's being with him could never be content without reality. What God did not give you has no power over you, and the attraction of love for love remains irresistible. For it is the function of love to unite all things unto itself and to hold all things together by extending its wholeness. How beautiful. What a beautiful reflection that. So again, this unreal world that we seemingly think we're in is a thing of despair, for it can never be. It's not real. It's part of this dream, as the Course teaches. And we who share God's being cannot be content without knowing who we really are. We all think, you know, we're on this journey to find our purpose in life and maybe to, you know, do something, leave something behind. All we're looking for is to, our purpose is to wake up. Our purpose is to remember who we are. And in that recognition, that's where our contentment and our happiness comes from. And I'm so glad you're here, Carla, too, because I remember last week we were talking about just, you know, ego backlashes and that sort of thing. And I love this next sentence. What God did not give you has no power over you. And so God didn't give us the ego, that's for sure. And so the ego has no power over us. It's nothing. It has no power to harm us whatsoever. I love how it goes on to the attraction of love for love remains irresistible. So again, we get there one step at a time by just all our small part is to just keep being willing, to just find that tiny, tiny mustard seed of willingness and to give that to the Holy Spirit with willingness to see differently. And let's read the last paragraph and then we can see if anything comes up for anyone. The real world was given you by God in loving exchange for the world you made and which you see. But take it from the hand of Christ and look upon it. Its reality will make everything else invisible, for beholding it is total perception. And as you look upon it, you will remember that it was always so. Nothingness will become invisible, for you will at last have seen truly. Redeemed perception is easily translated into knowledge, for only perception is capable of error, and perception has never been. Being corrected, it gives place to knowledge, which is forever the only reality. The atonement is but the way back to what was never lost. Your father could not cease to love his son. I love that second to last sentence. The atonement is but the way back to what was never lost. Again, another reminder that nothing has changed as a result of, you know, where we think we find ourselves right now. We haven't changed reality in the slightest. We just have chosen to forget about it and not accept it right here, right now.
This one line here blows my mind, and perception has never been. God.
Another doozy for the ego.
Perception has never been. And I just, you know, perception is the biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In order to perceive, we need something to perceive with, and that's where, you know, we dreamed up these separate bodies. And again,
and they become
God,
the target of that of any of the angry perceptions that we may have. And they're not even there.
Right. Right. They're laughable. We can laugh at them. Let's go back to our humor talk at the beginning of the call.
It just feels so damn real, though. I'm tattooing this on my arm. Perception has never been. I'm getting tattooed. That's all there is to it.
It does feel so real. And again, that's why it feels so real, and that's why we can't just intellectualize ourselves out of it. We can't just, you know, intellectually dismiss it as not being real, because it feels damn real. And so what we have to go through is just our lessons, but we can choose willingness instead of non-willingness. We can choose, you know, that tiny bit of willingness to turn to the Holy Spirit.
I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is it. The Holy Spirit is the answer. I was so angry at someone recently. She was pressuring me to call her. I could not pick up the phone. I was so angry. And I kept taking it to the Holy Spirit. And I really got this vision that she is your target. She's done nothing wrong. She's just a target, and your perception is just zeroed in on her. And I'm telling you, she showed me this, and I was able to pick up that phone and talk to her. It was the most wonderful thing.
That's awesome.
The Holy Spirit is the answer.
Thank goodness for the Holy Spirit, right? Because otherwise, as it said earlier, we would have condemned ourselves to oblivion, joy.
We would be lost.
Right? Right?
Best news.
Well, thank you, everybody, for coming together yet again to reinforce our remembering of the Holy Spirit in ourselves and in one another. That's why we show up every week. So I love you all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the beautiful sharing.
Love
you
all
next week.
Blessings.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.